This is going to be an extended portion and for people to see in the archive on askaleader.com. Before you came in studio for this recording, Pakwizi, I believe you must have heard the breaking news about the Supreme Court's opinion. And it was actually, there were many, many different signings on to the inclusion of Donald Trump on all ballots in the country, all states' ballots. So the initial impression I got from Rick Hassan, formerly from the UCI Law School, he's at UCLA's Law School now, but from the first reading that he was sharing on public radio today, this morning, was that there are clearly some indications of a significant proportion of the Supreme Court that are willing to reach deeply into deciding who, what they envision is the putting their thumb on the scale of who is actually going to become the elected president. There's many different ways they're indicating this. So I don't know if you had heard any of those summaries yet. What you are thinking with the branch of the judiciary that is weighing more and more significantly in the outcome of a presidential election?
I did hear some of those summaries. I myself only took a quick look at the ruling, so I don't have detailed opinion on that to be able to tell you that based on my analysis, I could make these inferences. But as scholars, I think we have to be very judicious in making inferences that borders on a bit of speculation, right? Because if we do that, we end up raising the political temperature beyond what it needs to be. I think the ruling here, we have to put it into perspective of the Supreme Court saying that this country is a country of laws and that there is a judicial process in place. So for you to evoke the 14th Amendment, Article 3 of that, you need some kind of processes in place that so states cannot just simply decide who can appear on a federal election ballot or not. And that federal elections are federal for a reason. And so once we start allowing states to have different standards in terms of applying federal laws, you end up creating some kind of chaos. So that due process, I think, becomes an important part of this conversation. The second part of the conversation then has to do with what the Supreme Court does from now, right? How what are its interventions in the other cases before it? That becomes where we are able to truly say this Supreme Court is prejudicial, right? That it is not judging the cases by its merits or not. And I think it's too early for us to second guess the Supreme Court. And so what we should then be doing is actually following the court closely, because the court is going to be very instrumental in this year's election, especially the kind of cases that are yet to come, including, the ruling Trump is seeking in terms of presidential immunity. So there are going to be a lot of monumental cases that are going to come. And whether the Supreme Court, in my view, has the capacity to dictate to our citizens who we should elect as president, I think, unless probably they come in maybe October to issue a ruling which is unprecedented, a few weeks before the election to say, to intervene in that election, I think that citizens are discerning enough that we could be able to educate people on judicial activism. And I hope the Supreme Court doesn't get to that point.
Well, thank you for that additional question to take here. I want to thank you, Pakhuisi Hedo, thank you so much for being on Ask a Voter today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pakhuisi Hedo is a Tobias Scholar at UC Irvine and visiting faculty member of SOCA University of America.